Hello, you're listening to a spoiler-filled film conversation. Hooray!
Is he dead? Well, not anymore. Hello. Let's reanimate this podcast. Wop, wop, wop. We're back from the dead. Brackets, whenever you heard us last. And we're talking about a film. I'm Richard. Hello, hello, hello. With me is Sexy Cadaver Anthony.
Hello.
Unsexy Cadaver Jamie.
Head in a tree.
And reluctant girlfriend Abby.
Hi. Was
Voice of reason.
that a reference to the film, or was that just a general observation?
It works both ways. Yes, hello. We are going to discuss the film as we always do on the pod. It was selected this week by Abby, so she will give you the details.
We are talking about Reanimator from 1985, directed by Stuart Gordon, who also co-wrote with Dennis Paoli and William Norris, based on the story by H.P. Lovecraft. It stars Jeffrey Combs, Bruce Abbott, Barbara Crampton, David Gale, Robert Sampson, and a few more other people. But we're only going to be talking about Jeffrey Combs and David Gale. Just what we're going to be doing. Principally, it's about someone who can bring people back from the dead, but eventually, it's about someone murdering people in order to bring them back from the dead to prove that he can.
Yeah, it's not like they bring him back from the dead in a useful way. It's a kind of terrifying, fucked up zombie way where they're in pain and they're not like hello and lucid. They're like ah!
It's sort of the story is an exercise in accidental escalation.
It's about it's about mad science and necromancy in the 80s when it was acceptable. Yeah, not an obvious pick from you, Abby. This would have very much easily fallen in Anthony or Jamie's wheelhouse of things they would suggest, but from you, it's a bit gross.
It's from, I've remembered, I couldn't remember why I watched this before, but I've remembered now. I briefly gave H.P. Lovecraft adaptations a try. Most of them didn't land well with me. This one was on the cusp, but it got so mad and so strange that it made the cut, which is right in that last half hour, which we will talk about
Yeah,
so
because
much.
I Lovecraft I associate with like dark, mean dockside towns that are worshipping Cthulhu on the sly. I don't think 80s slightly wacky Frankenstein riffs, but maybe that's
Well,
just me.
Cast a Deadly Spell was him as well, and that was whack in its own way, and it gave us the phrase dog sick tie.
Yeah, which is what is it a detective that's wearing one or
Yes.
yeah, something like that. We guess call a dog sick tie, which I think is a very good way to describe an awful tie. And a pattern of many ties of
The
the
period.
yesteryear. Yeah, sure. Yeah, Reanimator. I had never heard of it. No, I'm sorry. I'd heard of it and I'd given it a wide berth because I'm like, ugh. That looks horrible. It looked funny. I thought it was funny, and I was thinking it might have been in the sort of Evil Dead vein. But I'd sort of been tempted by it a little bit, but I'd never got around to it. So my only expectation is it would be silly. And to be honest, it held off on being silly for a bit. It tried to create genuine characters and be believable and have tension. And then about halfway through, it went right. So where were a wacky comedy actually? So that surprised me. But Jamie, had you heard of this before, seen it before?
This one is a I can't believe I've never actually watched it, because I'm probably the biggest horror fan on the podcast.
Oh, big if. Big maybe. Are we going to fight with Anthony? Anthony,
Maybe
what do you say?
no, you'll give it to Jamie.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
That's right. Back down, bitch.
But especially when I was like 16 and I finally
Hold up, hold up.
watched.
Anthony, had you seen Reanimated before?
What's wrong with Jamie finishing what he
No,
was
I just
going
want
to
to. I
say?
just want to find out. Have you seen it before?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's all we need. Yes. So,
bollocks.
Who's the bigger horror fan? Who's watched Reanimator? Not so big now. Sorry, I'll stop fighting a battle that doesn't need to happen for him. Jamie, back to you. You were saying you're excusing yourself from your horrifying.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I don't know why I've never watched this, because especially, you know, when I was like 16 is when I saw Evil Dead 2 for the first time and freaking fell in love with it. And then, you know, I've seen those and it got me into the more kind of like sillier, wackier, grosser comedy stuff. So, and this film, I've always since then been aware of it. It's obviously very much in that same part of the Venn diagram with the Evil Dead films. I know who Jeffrey Combs is. I've seen him in other stuff, particularly a memorable turn as the villain in The Frighteners.
Agreed.
I know, like, this is one of those films where, like, I almost feel like I have watched it because I know so much of the trivia. I've also read the Lovecraft stories about like this that this is based on, because I had a big book of like H.P. Lovecraft collection. And the
Lovecraft call this story then? I guess
Herbert
you didn't
West
call it
Reanimator.
Herbert West Reanimator just adds a name in there to make it less
Herbert
sort of...
West colon Reanimator, but colon Reanimator. But as we
well,
see
that
at the
kind
end
of happened at the end.
And it's been a while since I read, because I had a big book that was a collection of all the H.P. Lovecraft. I don't think it was all of his stories, but it was all of the like significant ones. And I think the whole Herbert West Reanimator series was in there. And they were short stories that he did that apparently he didn't really like. He just did them because they were easy money, and they're kind of lighter and a bit funnier than his usual stuff. They're not as kind of dour and self-serious. Also, I don't remember as much thinly veiled racism in the Herbert West stories as in the rest of his stuff, which is nice. But yeah, so despite all of that, and I've seen other films by like Brian Usner and Stuart Gordon, so this is just a really fucking weird blind spot for me that I finally resolved. Spoilers,
well,
I fucking loved it.
Okay, you've seen the big glowing green light and filled it in and filled the blank in. That's good. Anthony, then, back to you. You've seen this before. Would you like to elaborate then on what you're expecting this time around?
I remember being delighted by the film when I first watched it. It must be like 10 years ago now. I mean, I'm always game for 80s B movie horror or Jeffrey Combs, to be honest with you, whether he's in that or he pops up as an alien in Star Trek or whatever.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
Just a happy return to watching it again. Oh, good.
Yeah, pretty much.
A good film, a bankable, enjoyable horror comedy.
Indeed.
That's good. But not so much on the trivia reading up on it, but like Jamie apparently was without having seen the film.
I do that with everything, don't I?
I guess no. I think this film falls both under horror and weird shit. And I think Jamie's got the horror, I get the weird shit.
Hang on a minute now, because the weird shit is also in my wheelhouse, and it especially.
Oh, that one I will fight over.
The weird.
That's true.
Auntie's
got
stuff.
All of Japan. You can't compete with that. You can't.
So, this is for me. This is one I was like a bit apprehensive because it was, I knew it was going to be gory, and I hoped that the gore would at least be funny. And it, I mean, it was. But it does start with kind of just harrowing hospital stuff and like exploratory. What's it called when you're dead and doctors examine you? What's that called?
Autopsy.
Autopsy stuff.
Wait, no, that's not how it starts. It starts with an absolutely fucking mental scene.
No, but the beginning is fairly sober.
Oh.
medical gruesomeness that I'm like, oh Christ, are we really going to watch people prod around in people's skulls? Fucking hell. But what? So what was the spectacular opening?
The
lab in Germany, or no, Switzerland.
Yes,
wasn't it?
Yeah, where Herbert West is caught trying to revive someone with his serum, and the doctor. Did anyone catch the doctor's name, by the way?
Gruber?
Hans Gruber. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. 85, and Die Hard was, what, 89? So there was a fan on staff, I think.
I would say he wasn't trying to revive. He was dealing with and semi-throttling a manic zombie man, right?
Like, well, he'd already injected him, I think.
Yeah, so he was dealing with an angry...
But he got the
reanimated person.
But he gets the dose wrong, so the doctor's eyes explode out of his head. Like I said, I've seen other Brian Usna and Stuart Gordon films. I've seen From Beyond, which is another one of the, I think it was immediately after this one, another Lovecraft adaptation. And that one is even more like body horror grotesque. And so I knew from that, and obviously just knowing about the film, like, yeah, this is going to be really like over the top gross gory, wasn't expecting it in the first 5 minutes, and just immediate like full-on gross physical effects. And I really liked that it hits you with that right away, so that for the whole like first chunk of the film you're expecting more of that and you don't know when it's going to come.
It sort of cools off then, doesn't it? It says, look, that's a taster. Now let's get ready to know some characters and set up a premise. Yeah. And then we'll get back to it. Which I think's quite wise. You might get a bit bored of the gore, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, it's good to have that at the start so that you're not like bored by the build-up.
But it doesn't come as a wacky surprise where it's going.
But then it's also not like gory like that all the way through, so you don't get desensitized to it. Like, it's a good... It ramps up really well.
Yeah. I think
also, the movie has like the coolest theme tune, which is like if you got Tim Burton to do the Psycho music.
It's it sounds to me a lot like Vertigo. And I love the neon like anatomical drawings that we kind of fly through at the start.
Oh,
the opening
fun.
Credits are fucking great.
Yeah, this is a nice setup, I guess. Yeah. The thing that there's two lines of credibility this film has, right? I would say one is, okay, you're obviously going to have to accept the sci-fi convention for a sci-fi horror movie. So it's obviously, as far as we know, people can't be brought back to life when they're dead. And you have to roll with that concept to begin with, obviously. And the other aspect of credibility for me is, wait, this guy isn't arrested already, and all of the ramifications, how come no one's getting caught? And some of the leaps in logic people make to carry on their journey into reanimating corpses. And I would say the first flag is like, wait, this guy who was fighting with a dying man in a lab full of smashed things, he's fine and he's going to start work at another school, and he's didn't go to jail for any of this stuff.
Well, he was in Switzerland, and then that happened, and then he went back to the US, and it was the 80s. So I'm assuming the consequences just hadn't caught up with him yet.
Because well, like, not get into trouble. There's an element of him being introduced into the American school of this. Something's up with this guy. Like he behaves arrogantly, and there's something mysterious about him. But yeah, he's like, presumably he was in Switzerland learning from this guy because he was curious about reanimating the dead. And this guy was, I guess, the leading expert, right? Is that the idea?
Yeah.
The dead guy who was, you know, corpse was being...
His eyes exploded.
Yes. Abby, what do you make of Dr. West, who slowly becomes a more predominant character in the film?
He's not a doctor yet. He's not qualified.
Oh, that's really he's a student. Is he? Yeah. I think he's not one of them student doctors who's a doctor, but then he's still got more learning to do then.
I think he's a third year, which means you've done like pre-med and stuff. But then he's also been in Switzerland. I'm not sure if he's qualified in any way.
Well, he certainly should be struck off for his unscientific, unethical practice.
I wouldn't say it's unscientific. It's definitely unethical.
He hasn't got. He didn't obtain at any point permission from any of the cadavers to reanimate them.
That doesn't make it not scientific.
Okay.
He's still trying to test and verify his results. He's just going about it in a very
willy-nilly, tampering with cats kind of way. Yeah, science. Science is just maybe a bit less, maybe a bit more. Maybe indirectly into the brain. Very science, mate, yeah. Rigorous man he was. Robbie, what do you make of, Herbert West then, rather than Dr. West?
When he actually arrives on the campus, I don't quite know how to put this, but I think it's a really good interpretation of someone who's autistic and just says whatever they're thinking about. It's like, you're the crappiest person I've ever met. I hate everything that you do. Why do you want me to leave? I don't understand.
Yeah, it does slightly read like he's on the spectrum. Like he doesn't understand, doesn't care what people's reaction to him is, and he's not the arrogance goes with it. But like, this is my special interest, and I'm only here to learn about it. And if you don't teach me how I understand it, I don't care. I don't respect you, and I'll act up and be like he ignores people's. He doesn't have social cues. He's just laser focused on his obsession. In this case, unbrain-deading people? How does he phrase it? Investigating brain death and how to reanimate people, I suppose. Treating life and death.
Yes, because we find out not too long into it that... Do you think the cat was already dead?
No, he killed it.
No, he killed the cat, yeah.
Okay.
I don't think, yeah.
Because we don't see it, so there is some ambiguity there.
He murdered that cat.
We watched it with our black cat in the house as well, and it was like it became unamused, I think, would be my reaction.
Apparently that first shot of the dead cat in the fridge is a real dead cat.
Oh.
And I was watching it thinking, that first dummy looked amazing. Why does the second one look so shit?
Two of the best bits in it is when I hope a cat dummy, not a cat corpse, is thrown at a wall.
Yes.
And then later on, a human being is thrown at a wall. That's very good as well.
There's some very good, again, the Venn diagram that they, like, it shares with Evil Dead 2. Very much Bruce Campbell fighting with his own hand. Jeffrey Combs having a fake cat flopping around on his back.
I think that's when it started to win me over, was that moment.
It was that, and then it was the dummy cat being the wall.
The other characters they introduce are, I guess there's the surgeon who's going to be teaching the class that Herbert's going to be participating in. What's his name?
Dr. Hill.
So there's Dr. Hill, and there's also Dan. Is it Dan?
Yeah, Dan Kane.
And he's working in the mortuary? No, is that the wrong word? What's the word for it?
He's not working there, but, you know, being a doctor or trainee doctor, he visits there now and again.
He wheels the bodies in. He knows the security guard who's always going off for a wank.
Yes, and does nothing. Even when there's, like, absolute chaos and undead people alive, he's still a bit like, I'll just stand here and look, shall I? I'll go. I'll run away. But yeah, so splacking, wanking security guard. Dan, it is a mortuary. That's the right word, is it?
Morgue.
I'm not very good with all these. I can't remember which ones are, like, well, what's a crypt and a morgue and a mortuary and a fucking...
I think a mortuary and a crypt are both, like, types of graves, whereas a morgue is, like, the medical... There's the place where you store newly dead bodies.
Cadavers. I know that word. Anyway, right, okay. So, but he works in the hospital as a... Yeah, as Anthony said, he's a trainee. He's training to be a doctor. But he's also on this surgeon's class, is he? Or is he just... Is he not in it, actually? Can think of it. I don't know. He fucking works in the hospital. It don't matter that much. But he has access.
Think he is a student. Him and his girlfriend, Megan. And Megan's the daughter of the dean.
And the dean is the one who brings in Herbert West and shows him round, and is sort of
right. He's like doing him a favor.
Yes, and he's also trying to, like, there's a thing about funding. He's hoping to get some more funding, so he's sort of networking. I don't know.
Yeah,
he's,
everybody has their own intentions in all this.
But they, all of our main characters come together, and then they eventually set up the girlfriend of Dan, who's also in it a lot.
There is, I appreciated for the foreshadowing of the ending when we're introduced to Dan with him like trying to resuscitate that woman, and then being like, "She's fucking dead, stop!" And he just refuses to give up.
Yeah, they give the vaguest hint. Ooh, right.
I think there's cats fighting on the roof.
Bloody hell.
Should we give him a minute?
Yeah.
Dead cats fighting on the roof.
The guitar outside is even louder.
Yeah. You hear it?
I can't.
I was just going to bring up the best smash cut I have ever seen in my life.
Is this the sexy smash cut?
Yes. Yes, it is.
One?
What's
her name?
Megan and Dan meet for the first time in the film. Not, you know.
Yeah, they're already ever, together.
And they hug, and he's like kind of teasing her, and she's going, no, no, no. And then smash cut to them having sex in bed, and she's just shouting, yes.
Yeah.
I loved it. Made me laugh out loud.
It is a quick turnaround from introduce, kiss, and they're fucking no. And then a bit of after bed pillow talk to sort of establish their relationship and connect a few dots.
She, her character in this is a bit of a shame. Like she's very damsel in distress, kind of doesn't get much else to do. But
well, she is the voice of reason. I think she's the most. She's trying to like help Dan not go down the mad scientist route.
Yes, but I
fall
didn't
for a knobhead.
I don't think I appreciated until I watched this film and then like looked into her talking about it after the fact, how cool Barbara Crampton is.
In what way?
Like she's just very like she has a she's stuck with doing a lot of horror since, and she has a really good sense of humor about like herself and this film, and it makes a scene later on in the film that stands out as one I don't particularly like a little bit less uncomfortable hearing her joke about it afterwards.
Oh right, we'll get to that.
Yeah, we'll get there.
Oh, we'll get to that.
But no, considering that like she kind of doesn't have a ton to do in this, I like her kind of as a person, having like heard interviews with her and read some interviews with her.
I feel bad because my main takeaway was she was the least believable at acting. I felt like she was the most B-movie person who...
More than Dan?
That sort of bought his like naivete, I suppose.
I don't know, there was one moment later on where like he just... he's like looking for her, and he comes to her house and just knocking the door, and then he comes in and he hugs her, and he just goes like, I'm so frightened. I'm not frightened in the slightest.
Yeah, it was, I know the bit you mean. Yeah, it's definitely got that like schlocky 80s horror like unevenness with a lot of the performances. I think more of it is to do with probably like the direction, and I would imagine they were like stuff like this always seems like it's filmed in a hurry with a lot of budget concerns, so everybody's just sort of doing what they can.
Plus, there's the fact that they're acting against Jeffrey Combs and David Gale in this film. Of course, we're not going to remember anyone else.
David Gale is doing the job of having to pretend to be doing hypnosis or sort of weird psychological suggestive mind washing. So yeah. He talks weirdly, as a character. But maybe you're right. Maybe there's a general B movie rushness.
I think it's a mix because it is the combination of they're trying to play straight characters in a very kind of wacky film, and they're also playing straight characters against Jeffrey Combs and David Gale, and Jeffrey Combs and David Gale are in a competition to eat as much of the scenery as they can.
Yeah, and I
It
think
is like a pie
particularly,
eating contest.
but I think Jeffrey Combs wins handily because he, from the get-go, never lets up in his
Oh.
manic focus on being a mad scientist with
Yeah, I mean,
passion and lies and
I
like
like I said, I've
ridiculous
seen I
antics.
know Jeffrey Combs's performance from The Frighteners, which is also very good. But this was something else. And I think I said in the chat while I was watching it, I'm so sad we never got a Herbert West versus Ash from The Evil Dead like crossover film.
Yeah, we could
Because
have.
the
It would have been nice.
two titans of horror B movies just fucking the absolutely two sides of the same coin.
I love that they're two very different sizes to each other as well. It's
Yes.
beautiful.
Yes, it would have been nice to see Re-Evil Dead. That's the best I could come up with what Ash versus West would have been called as a film. Any other
Yeah,
suggestions?
I couldn't think of anything better than that.
Yeah, I don't know. It's not a quality pun, but it's something.
No, but you've even like even the plot, like the idea of like, and it's even got like the Lovecraft crossover stuff because you've got the Necronomicon in the Evil Dead films, so it could be like Herbert West trying to use the Necronomicon and harness the power of the Deadites, and Ash has to stop him. It would have been so perfect. I bet there's a
Yeah,
comic.
green light it. Yeah, I mean, I found it odd how they introduce him. And you're like, okay, he's a dickhead. We don't like him. What a bell end. He's going to possibly be the antagonist of this. And then at some point, it sort of changes as he sort of, I guess it's Cubs once he's got Dan on side as his helper. His mania sort of becomes likable, I think. Because he's this off-putting man who keeps himself to himself, is
Yeah.
very suspicious. And like as soon as he moves into Dan's house, like he needs an apartment, doesn't he? And Dan and Megan are there, and she's like, "Don't fucking ixnay on the letting this guy move in, Snay," because he literally comes in and goes, "Do you have a basement? Yes, this will do nicely. You won't hear a peep out of me." Like it's very sus, and he just waves his money, and Megan's like, "No, are you mad? This guy's a prick. Don't like him."
All right, sorry, I don't want to let this pass. There have been comic books of like Ash versus Reanimator. So
Are you buying them as we speak?
I'm looking at them.
Bookmarking them on
So
eBay.
I'm glad other people have had this exact same thought.
Yeah, and have done some hard work for you as well, presumably.
Yes, they've done the job for me, so I don't have to make an effort.
Just yeah, still though, commission it, make it happen. That's what I say. But yeah, what do you guys find that? Did you find the same feeling I did, where this guy's a knobhead, and then you kind of love him,
Yeah.
even though he
Yeah,
never does anything redeemable.
I was going to mention him myself. It's like it's because you're right. He's pretty much set up as he's going to be the villain of the piece, and then he doesn't quite. I suppose he is the main character, but
Becomes a
not
tag team,
really.
really, doesn't he, with
Yeah.
Dan?
Yeah, that's from the stories.
But I don't know, like he goes from like heel to he doesn't he, well, he doesn't do anything. He just I guess
It's
what they
not
do is
the
they
you're right.
the
There's definitely a point in the film where you're like, I'm kind of on this guy's side now.
it's because
Yeah.
Dr. Hill's more of a prick.
Yes, Dr.
Yeah.
Hill's worse.
And he's like at least like there's a sense that West wants the credit. He wants to learn and figure out and cheat death and bring people back to life. For him, like for glory, but also, it would be good for medical science if we could revive the dead, right? In theory, that would be an incredible medical breakthrough
I
worth
think he
investigating.
and I think he and part of what makes him a little like what makes him more sympathetic than Hill is that West doesn't seem to be doing it for personal glory. He's doing it because he's doing it to do it
It's
because he can and
amazing.
the
Yeah.
opportunity's there. Whereas
Yeah.
Hill doesn't give a shit if he's the one who does it. He just wants the credit because he's already plagiarized Dr. Gruber. Yeah. And then he tries to steal West's work.
Plus, he's an already successful hypnotist as well, apparently.
Well, his whole thing is that, like, he will absolutely steal someone else's work and just take the credit for it.
Yeah, and also when he's, you know, decapitated, it doesn't stop him. He's still remarkably successful. So that's like, fucking brick. West gets you on side. What I like about him, he's the same trope as like the Invisible Man or Dr. Frankenstein, obviously, where they have a discovery and their discovery has become their obsession. And they don't have time for, it's like about speed and do anything you can. I'm driven by this. Never mind ethics, never mind morality, never mind the law, never mind like all of the things that you do wrong. Let's fucking Birkenhair this shit and get some corpses. I want to meddle. We can nail this rather than you make a discovery like this. Okay, if you presented it to a medical board, other people are going to take over and it's going to run away and you're not going to be...
Or they're going to say no, because it's unethical. Like,
right. How did you find this out? I fucked up a cat. I fucked up the guy who discovered this thing. I did something terribly unethical. See you, you're in jail, but now government-approved scientists are taking over. So I can understand his reluctance to let his discovery be known. Because he's passionate about it, but it is just like classic. Oh, you've gone mad! you haven't behaved like a normal scientist.
If I remember right, part of the idea of Lovecraft's Herbert West series was supposed to be sort of a parody of Frankenstein as well.
Yeah, I mean it's the obvious comparison. They obviously are aware of that as well, even to the fact that the sequel is called The Bride of Reanimator in a nod to the Frankenstein movies. Abby, do you like Dan in this? He's our pseudo-protagonist. What do you think of Dan? Maybe talk about him a bit as well.
I don't have very strong feelings towards Dan, but he is a good sort of emotional centre. He reacts correctly in a lot of the situations. Like, he checks out mentally a couple of times because he understands what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And he freaks out a few times and you're like, yes, Dan is a reasonable person up to a point.
Yeah.
And then he completely loses his mind and he ends up just as bad as Herb.
Yeah, I think he...
Just call him Herb.
I refer to him as Herb throughout my notes and now I can't call him anything else.
I always think of him as West because they said that more often.
They do call him West more often, but I like to call him Herb.
With his wonderful glasses and manic eyes. And then Dan is your more like generic handsome-ish guy. And like the thing they do with him is they go, he thinks about things and considers the morality and worries and gets stressed about the illegal activity and how much he's being led on and how it's... He also is, you know, he's worried about staying in the school, getting in trouble with a dean whose daughter he's seeing. He wants to look like a good boyfriend. He wants to be a good boyfriend. But fucking hell, maybe you can, make dead people come alive again.
Well, I think part of why he maybe comes across as a bit bland at times it's intentional in order to show him, completely degrade by the end of the film.
Degraded into like also a complicit maniac. Yeah.
Like what he does at the end of the film is just like continuing the horrible cycle that West has started.
Yes. I don't find him boring. I think it's a good to have every man.
Just bland rather than
boring.
Just
as a comparison, a bit harsh, is it? Like, but, you know,
Yeah, he's got somewhere to go because some of the others start off crazy, whereas he works his way there over the runtime.
It's Harvey Dent becoming Two-Face.
Sure, yeah. Or was he that way all along? So basically, we get introduced to the environment they're going to be studying in. And so Dan gets Herbert West as his flatmate. and
doesn't
he's
have much of a choice. Wes just kind of decides he's moving in.
Well, you see, you know, he needs money. He accepts that. He's like, well, fuck it then. And we'll put up with this creepy, possibly autistic guy if it means money. And so Wes is doing his own thing and going to the school. Oh, Wes really just snaps pencils to piss off his tutor.
So, that was a wonderful scene. It's one of the most passive-aggressive scenes I've ever seen.
The second he... Because, like, he had that first pencil it's a lecture from Dr. Hill where he's doing a live autopsy for the medical students, and it's the special effects and the sound, the Foley. I watched this with my fucking in-ear headphones in, which is potentially a mistake.
There's a quote as well.
Oh,
it's
not
unlike peeling a large orange.
Oh, and I'm sure that's what they used for the Foley, just peeling an orange directly into the microphone, because it makes that like fibrous noise when the skin comes away from the skull, that like and then like just digging into the brain but he's talking about the amount of time it takes for brain death and how it's irreversible after that point, and Wes snaps his pencil to interrupt him, and then Hill looks at Wes and Wes pulls another pencil out and holds it in the same position.
Yeah, this isn't like one of those oops I broke my pencil tense way. It's a I'm being a bell end.
I have brought a box of pencils to do this. And then the great the end of that is Mr. West, I suggest next time you bring a pen.
That's a good line. I like that Wes also starts shouting at him, Miss Dr. Hill, and being like, how do you owe it to these students to teach them properly?
Yeah, it's bullshit. Yeah.
And so his disagreement is that basically to do with brain death occurs after X number of seconds or minutes.
And then it's irreversible.
Six
and West
to
12 is
12 minutes.
Yeah. And West is like, bullshit, I can fix that.
Because West has studied from the same guy who taught Dr. Hill.
Yeah.
Popped guy at the start.
Dr. Hill plagiarized some of his work and West
was accused of it, yeah.
Yeah.
And so Wes is a bit disappointed and underwhelmed by the education he's going to get here, because his motivation is to basically pick up where he left off in Switzerland, which is furthering the knowledge of how to revive people from death. And he has some green goo, or not goo, liquid, glowing
glow stick,
green
liquid.
Yeah, liquid that he keeps in his personal fridge and things on him. And he's basically eager to get up and running in this line of inquiry, but he doesn't like his teacher now, and he sort of has made an enemy very easily. And so Dr. Hill doesn't take that lying down either, because he has the year of the dean and has a chat with him like a friend, but also starts doing this weird talking as if he's trying to mind control the dean, right? Because he starts being like very protective of the dean's daughter, who it turns out he fancies.
Trying
to manipulate him to get rid of, like, Dan is roommate with my student I don't like. So basically, they're dickheads. You can forget about them.
David Gale does a really good job of just creepy, unpleasant. Like, he's immediately unlikable.
It's that toupee.
Oh,
just straight away, you're like, no.
I know. I think it's Stuart Gordon talks about it in some supplementary material about how horrible the wig is. But they had to use it because
it
had to
match. Like an orange.
It had to match the dummy head, and they couldn't get that to work with his hair. So he had to like shave his head or cut his hair short and use a wig so they could like transfer the wig between the dummy head and him. I want to talk about the guy, Robert Sampson, who plays the dean as well. Because
do an incredible job. Because
he starts off this film as very kind of bland education, like very much a typical sort of respectable dean. Nothing remarkable about him. Yeah, doesn't stand out in any way. And then he becomes an insane zombie for the rest of the film, and he's so fucking good at it as well. Like it's such a proper like Frankenstein's monster type of performance. Like he really fucking goes for it.
Yeah, and he has to have a little bit more if you have sympathy for him, a lot of the zombies that are reanimated are just grotesque, aggressive monsters reaching out and being violent through pain, probably. And then his is a little bit, he's retained some element of himself when he's back, and
even
it's
when
a
he's
bit
been
more restrained.
Lobotomized. It's an that's also another thing that about Dr. Hill. He's invented that like laser lobotomy thing, so you don't they don't have to use the like fucking ice pick eye poke thing. It's just a very precise laser directly into the brain, which we're introduced with, to by him sticking a fucking cotton bud in the hole in somebody's head.
Oh, I was very much like, do we have to watch this at that point? Yeah, they say not to jam them in your ears, but maybe not in your brain either.
Yeah.
Fuck this guy. Yeah, you're right. Like the best thing is the going for the really bland, likable, or you know, likable, friendly, good nature. He doesn't even he's not even suspicious of Dan. You know, he plays fucking his daughter, and he's cool with it. And so that contrasts so nicely when he's like a
well,
manic,
it's not that he's cool
zombie.
With it. He doesn't know, and they don't want him to find out, but he also doesn't seem to
having
even...
a relationship.
Yeah, but he doesn't... She says that she, like, they have to pretend they're not fucking until they're married, like he's old-fashioned.
Yeah, but it doesn't make a big thing about it. He's
reasonable. No, that's what I mean.
Though,
he isn't suspicious. He's not, like, he's not, you know, he's not suspicious of them and their relationship. Dr. Hill is, but he's not.
And so it provides the brilliant contrast then when he's like a ridiculous, angry, upset Leviathan tampered with dead guy, reanimated. Anthony, what do you make of his performance? Is this a standout character for you?
It, in any other film, it would be. Again, he's up against Jeffrey Combs and David Gale in this film.
It's fair.
But no, I agree. Like it, like Jamie said, it's very much the kind of Frankenstein thing where he starts off kind of really angry zombie and just kind of like thrashing out, but then
monstrous.
That kind of like sympathetic patheticness later on.
The daughter realizing he was there obviously feels sympathy and perhaps would like him saved if he can be.
Kind of like, God, what's his name in Day of the Dead? The zombie they have chained up. Is it Bub?
Yeah, Bud.
The
Bub?
One that, but maybe it's Bud. I don't know.
Nick,
you know
Nick
who
Frost
I mean, though, right?
Shaun of the Dead, basically.
Yeah, the one that they're trying to teach.
Yeah, and they're like, see, there's still human
there's
here.
There's something there. Yeah, it is a bit like that, Yeah, and I think that's something. I mean, it's a nice. There's lots of nice. It's not just one concept done well. It's a few little concepts done quite well, and then dialed up really high.
The other thing that I liked, which we get when the first when the cat's revived, and then when the first person's revived, which is also something we don't see a lot in like zombie fiction, other than the Return of the Living Dead, is the idea that like. Being a living corpse is incredibly painful and awful. Like there's a pained kind of agony to all of the zombies in this that you don't normally see. Normally they're just like shambling, not really there. But the fact that they're like conscious, but presumably still have like full rigor mortis and are freezing cold.
Yeah, it turns out it hurts to be dead. It makes sense. I kind of buy that. I mean, if you buy it, you're reanimated, you go, oh, it would suck to you.
Well, the body's already dead, and then
even the ones who are like relatively fresh, it stands to reason that if you start feeling again, like your brain is turned back on before everything's shut down, then I mean, fuck, it would suck ass. I don't know. It feels like West's research is only ever going to lead to horrible abominations.
Welcome to H.P. Lovecraft. Horrible abominations was his thing, including what he named his cat.
What did he name his cat? Horrible abomination.
I can't say it on the podcast.
It's the wrong kind of abomination.
Yeah.
Is it the N one?
It's N-word man was the name of his cat.
Oh.
Does adding man to it help?
I don't know. The blow? I don't know. He was an odd man, was H.P. Lovecraft. An odd, unpleasant man.
Yeah, but like, So the speaking of cats, the titular point for Dan and realizing what West is up to is that the cat has gone missing. Him and his girlfriend are looking around their house and flat, or what do you call it, an apartment? I don't know. House, it is a house. Who cares? Their accommodation. And they have to go. They kind of cross the line and go into the guy's room, even though he's private, and they're looking in the basement where he's been.
Before we get to that, they do something in this film that you don't see, or I feel like you don't see very often in film or on TV, is someone calling a cat by going, pss, 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 pss. When was the last time you saw that?
That does not work.
I know, it doesn't. No, you can't call a cat. They don't give a shit. But when was the last time you
smell
saw that
tuna
in like a movie or a TV show? I feel like it's very rare.
It's because it's really fucking annoying when it's really loud in a film.
I think the cat is annoying, right? Like, it's like, what are you doing?
Yeah, stop that's that. Why they meow at you if you do it. Because they're telling you to shut up.
I did like that scene where they're looking for the cat and she's like, pss, 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 your cat. And he's just like,
yeah,
Cash, where are you? Better come out.
Yeah.
He also knew it was futile to look for a cat.
Yeah.
Yes.
And, you know, when I'm experimenting on dead animals, what I do is I close the fridge door where I keep them. I don't leave my glowing green goo in the fridge as well, so it can be lit up properly, so it's easy to find.
I just thought of something. That first shot that we see, the close-up shot of the face, where I thought it was a very good dummy and it turned out it was actually a dead cat that they used, doesn't that nullify the thing at the end of the film where it says no animals were harmed in the making of this?
It could have just been a dead
film.
Cat, though. Well,
yeah, if
the
they'd gone to a vet and said, do you
got
have
any
dead
cats?
They haven't harmed anything if it's already
I suppose
dead.
That's true.
Sick, though.
It's weird, isn't it?
Sick.
I mean, to be fair though, you saw the actual dummy they had afterwards.
it's like fucking Salem from what's it called, Sabrina?
It was one of the worst dummy dead animals I've seen in a film.
But that kind of added to it when he like reanimated the second time.
Yeah.
It's just like a gross.
Smashed up bowl of chili.
Yeah, it did work. I also like that they add like a weird modulation to the voice. It doesn't like there's no reason that would happen, but it gives it that extra like uncanny factor that makes it really like uncomfortable.
Yeah. So the cat's discovered it is dead in the fridge of West. West comes home and is affronted that they're in his room, but also absolutely caught red-handed. And has to bullshit his way, not for the first time, oh well, for the first time, but of many. He has to bullshit the story about he was going to tell them about it, he just put it there so it didn't rot, but also get out of my room. So they have an argument, and it basically ends in a kind of Megan and Dan disliking him, but accepting that, well, the cat's dead either way. Well, the important thing is, it's titular to Dan being shown that West could revive things. Isn't it?
Reanimate, if you're going to say titular.
You sure?
Because it's the title.
Yeah. But it's a critical moment, isn't it? Because why does Dan have to be showed that the cat... Like, does he discover West again tampering?
Or... No, he finds him in the basement being attacked by the stuffed animal. Making,
he goes to sleep having had the argument, see?
Yeah.
And then...
And then he hears a horrible meow, like howling meow. And
it
then,
does shit. I've accidentally stood on my cat's tail once, and it did. I felt like the screaming was in my own head.
I know. I don't know how they do it. it's horrible.
This is a bit extra. And then, as you say, the comedy cat kip battering scene. And then that basically, once Dan is shown that, this horrible cat can be brought back to life by injecting it with green liquid, he's like, fuck, this is incredible. horrible.
I like the way that I like the economy of also having Barbara then walk in and see this as well, instead of it also having an added layer of the two of them having to keep it from her. Because I was kind of, I don't know why, but I was kind of worried that like, now we're going to have that conflict and get resolve that before the film can move on.
Bloody
but the film is such a like tight runtime that they're like, no, fuck it, just walk her in.
Yeah,
so now she knows as well. Like, just, you know.
Now the ethical debate can occur.
Yeah, we've got some special effects we need to get to. Come on.
Yes. Basically, the problem is this is terrible, monstrous, unethical, but it's real, so it should be followed up on. Abby, what did you make of the argument Dan and Megan have to have about Wes's fucked up experiments?
I understand that sort of like, but the science
right
of the argument, but at the same time, not unhinged.
Yeah.
No, but the science. But the science. No, but the science. No.
But you've met Wes, though, haven't you? absolutely no. If this was, we've discovered it if a normal scientist has discovered it and is showing you in a lab environment that he hasn't built in the dusty basement, maybe, but this not bad.
Or even like, can we start on, like, it's also cruel, but could we at least start on mice? You know, and work our way up.
Or like, as we found out in the Asphyx, hamsters are good for bringing back from the dead and are living eternally in that case. It's very fun. But no, we get smashed cat corpse and then that's fine. Dan's in from that point on. He tries to stop his relationship. That's not good enough reason though, is it? Like, but he's like, oh, this is good science. And the bit, it's because he works in the mortuary. He has to have his arm twisted about basically nicking human bodies then. And you go, what is it? You're going along with you, Dan? You're a fucking patsy in a room, mate.
Well, again, we get that bit at the start of the film where he overdoes it trying to revive that woman and everyone else is like, fucking, she's dead, let it go. And he's like, no, I can do it. So he obviously has that seed of like...
compassionate, I want to save lives with this.
Yeah, you have to. And I think he's vulnerable to the idea that like, no, we can bring people back. So they find Arnold Schwarzenegger's stunt double. Not a joke, yeah. That is actually who it is.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
That's good work. He has a lovely big body and has a freaky looking head, at least in this.
I thought you said he's a lovely big ass.
Oh, just you. I mean, it stopped being lovely once it was purple and meant to represent a corpse. Yeah.
But again, this is the first instance we get of like, oh, this guy looks like he's in a lot of pain.
Yeah. So basically, at the morgue, they select a body who is the freshest and most appropriate for not being fucked when they bring him back, is the hope. They have to do it quickly because wanking off security guy will be back.
He's going to come back.
And yeah, they eject him. And it's
unless he's really treating himself. It does seem to be a while.
Yeah, he's long since taking a vacation mentally from this job. What the corpse is going to do? They're all dead. They're not going to come back to life and cause a problem.
I do like there's more. This film has a good amount of like foreshadowing for stuff that pays off later. Because I like them going around the room trying to find the right kind of corpse, and all of the bodies that Wes like identifies and writes off are also the zombies that like pop up again at the end of the film. So you see all of the different injuries that he's describing.
That's good. Yeah, good foreshadowing. But yeah, this big hulking guy. It's the classic scientist mistake of whap him full of juice. It hasn't worked. Let's get impatient and smack more into his massive brain. He is a human size after all. And then, of course, that bites you on the bum because the guy fucking jumps up like Undertaker and starts unleashing hell on you and
choke slamming everybody.
Yeah. Abby, did you care for this level of wacky violence and nudity of corpses and, you know, old Schwarzenegger stunt double running riot?
There were three or four scenes in this film where I'm not sure I've processed them yet. And this is one of them where I think I'm going to be processing this possibly for the rest of my life. I don't know.
There's a lot of naked flailing around in this film.
Yeah, and the injured nakedness. They're not even pleasant, you know, sexy people.
Yeah, not
people,
hot
but
naked
just
bodies. No, it's
cadaver
all just
naked.
Horribly stiff, it pained, mutilated, yes, naked people.
No, this isn't like fucking, what's that one with fucking porn stars? It doesn't matter. Fucking,
you're just thinking about
Marky Mark. No, Marky Mark. What's it called?
Boogie Nights.
Boogie Nights. That's all I was going for. If it was like Boogie Nights, you know, where they were all, you know, sexy porn stars having fun. No, it's disgusting, mutilated, dead people who've been, you know, reanimated. With the so they fucking West basically jams some
Well,
blade
this is where
skull
the dean
cutting
dies,
saw.
because the
The
dean
Dean.
comes. The dean's looking for
Dan.
Dan.
No, it's not, is it?
Yeah.
This is it, well, he basically bone saws the big
No.
guy.
That's yeah, but that's why, because the dean comes looking for them, and
And
he
just
gets attacked by the revived Schwarzenegger stunt double, and
But
then
the deal is
while
basically you're gonna get you guys are gonna be expelled or like
yeah,
let go because
because
I've been manipulated by Dr. Hill,
well,
right?
that and I believe they find out about the cat, right?
Right.
Yeah, Megan tells him about it because
Yeah.
she wants him to stop. And
Yeah,
he's
there's the
like, I'm
whole.
gonna tell Daddy. Fine,
Yeah,
tell
and
Daddy.
then the dean's like, well, West is mental and he's clearly taken, he's influenced you, so you're gonna get your student loans taken away, and he's out.
I think fair enough, to be honest.
I mean, yeah, like I
It's
said, the dean is a reasonable character in this, which
Yeah,
is
he's
tragic.
how does he get
He gets
killed?
his fingers bitten off, and
That
then his
wouldn't
head
kill you.
smashed into the wall.
Ah, that might do it. This is again credibility time again. So, oh, all right, you've made the ethical jump of going into the morgue and tampering with bodies. Well, we've got another corpse now. I feel very sorry for him.
I so
But if ever there was a harrowing, if there was a good time to revive someone, now would be it.
I do you did mention the little bone saw thing, the I don't know what it's called, the little spinny bone saw that
That would not work like that
I
at
know,
all.
I know. But look, the point is, it is one of the few moments where West gets to have a little bit of a like badass horror movie moment, because he does it in such a calm way, especially when he's like, Dan, look out. It's really
I
like, doesn't give a shit, and then yeah, just shoves it through the guy.
like how Dr. West, oh sorry, West always, he's in his smart shirt and ties with his glasses and is often blood splattered and
Yeah.
carrying on. Like he absolutely ignores the fact he's covered in blood and pursues his dreams of green goop reanimation.
He's so proactive as well. He sees a situation, he's like, yep, doing this.
Yeah.
I like also one of his many flaws is he's also now addicted to injecting the stuff into himself because it gives you a little cocaine style burst of I don't have to sleep. I can do more science if I've injected a bit myself. Think what it can do to the human body if you're alive.
Yeah, I
I'm
did not
surprised that's not a
expect a
thing.
shooting up scene in this.
It did help as well. It was so pathetic and Dan stupidly helps him. Yeah, not sleeping's great. You should not sleep. You're not a big enough maniac already. Anthony, where do you fall on the, now that we've got another corpse, should we reanimate the Dean territory? Was this fun, plausible stuff for you? Were you questioning the morality at any point, or did you like, this is dumb, I'll just enjoy the ride?
Anthony was fully on board. Bring him back.
Absolutely. I was fully on board since the cat. I was fully on board since the eye popping.
So for you, this isn't a moral maze to be navigated. This is like silly chalk humor for lols.
Absolutely. But saying that, I mean, it plays it just well enough where it's believable enough where once they've like killed the first corpse and then they're left with the second corpse, it's like oh well, you know, we're not going to get a fresher corpse than this. Also, we can save his life,
Yeah.
and
Yes.
then
Yeah.
it plays it just well enough where you're
It
like,
gives
okay,
you a good enough excuse to carry on the madness, doesn't it?
yes. Unlike
But
Jamie
they
Sullivan,
have. Sorry, go on.
the exercise in escalation, accidental escalation all the time.
The thing that would say, or maybe we shouldn't to me, although the moment is now because he's freshly dead, it is just like, did you see what just happened with the massive guy attacking you? You want to bring the Dean back? You're going to have to kill him with a bone saw again.
I
I
like
don't
that.
think we're at that stage of perfecting this to bring him back already.
I appreciate that that is, in fact, immediately what happens, is that as soon as he wakes up, he's a fucking raging killer zombie.
Yeah, and now he has a legitimate grudge as well.
Yep.
Like the other guy didn't know that. I mean, fuck's sake, guys, get a grip. Maybe stop injecting the fucking green stuff into your veins, you mad bastard. Maybe take a fucking chill pill. No, don't take any pills. Christ, who knows what it'll do to your brain. Yeah. Well, how do we? So the thing that again, credibility again. So this mania breaks loose. The team doesn't get re-killed, does he? He gets sort of.
No, they managed to blame all the carnage on him.
Because of who, like, is it the security guard or Megan comes in or something, or Dr. Hill? I can't remember.
It's all, yeah, I think it's all of them. The security guard turns up as well. And
They're discovered madly fighting or being double choke slammed, isn't it? Being strangled.
yeah, and then they say that he came in and went mental and stuck a buzzsaw through one of the bodies, and they're
We
like,
defended ourselves.
yeah.
And the police will definitely find collaborating evidence everywhere. This unquestionable story is completely definitely what happened. We
This
got it.
directly leads to my biggest question of this film.
Why?
Did Dr. Hill always have a padded cell directly leading off his office?
It
That's a
is
good.
weird.
Yeah, I didn't even think about it.
I mean,
Like that's which
we
also
did
speaks
question it.
to like the tone of the film that I saw that padded cell as an extension of his office, and my brain just went, "Well, of course."
Yeah, how else? Well, this is a man who has learned how to. He's learned some. Dr. Hill has learned from the guy who discovered how to possibly reanimate people, but he hasn't started doing that. Like, he just teaches surgery, as far as we know. He's just teaching, medical science to students. But on the quiet, he's become either a what's it called? Is he a hypnotist or a telepath
It's
or
not so.
a
Apparently,
mind
there is a
washer?
deleted scene that does go into this a little bit more. So, I suppose there was supposed to be this idea that he does have some kind of like psychic ability, but the
Like
way it's
mind
left in the
control.
film, it is more like he just has like a natural ability or a honed ability to like manipulate people.
He could Darren Brown you.
But
He's not, that is hypnosis. He is a hypnotist. I think. In this, actually, you've read the book, you can tell me. Is he like Cthulhu in disguise, or is he some kind of demon? Because later on, he does turn into that intestine monster light portal.
No, I think what's happening is, and I think because they cut the suggestion that he has actual psychic abilities anyway, I think it makes it a little bit more interesting, after he's killed, because it suggests that
He
there's
can.
more to his consciousness or any dead person's consciousness coming back than just reanimating the brain. So it like because he's able to control his body like remotely, and that seems to extend to the other corpses.
That's
So I
all
think
very
it's
convenient and flawed in the logic of what they set up as a problem.
but I think
Ooh.
to me that suggests that there's like a bigger supernatural element that maybe even West hasn't clocked, and it
Yes.
adds a sort of interesting layer to it. Whereas if they kept the idea of him being psychic, that just seems a bit odd. Like that to me is convenient.
It is. So this issue that comes up later, once Dr. Hill is decapitated and reanimated and is up to all kinds of crazy shit, he still seems to have this ability to mind control other, like not just. Well, all the other zombies or whatever, but he was also mind controlling the dean a little bit, or like suggesting to him things or whatever, hypnosis, as
Right.
Abby said. But with him even controlling his body, he's severed the spine is severed, so
Yeah,
there
no,
shouldn't
so
be
okay.
any like
This is
communication between him and his own body, let alone all the other corpses. It
this
has to be
comes
supernatural, doesn't it?
yeah, this comes to what I was suggesting and how I kind of read it is that what even West doesn't realize is that by reanimating these bodies, he's tapping into something bigger. I think my interpretation is he's only looking at like the basic scientific physical side of it. Whereas because Dr. Hill already has this like you know, he's, he believes that he can control other people. He's able to harness this like bigger thing that also comes with being revived. And what we see at the end, whenever West overdoses Hill's body, and it like goes completely out of control, and his fucking intestines are coming out, and like,
excuse me, it's not pronounced overdose; it's pronounced overdose.
Yeah, thank you. But what we see then, and you mentioned that it almost looks like a portal is opening up. I read that as like the sheer like volume of the shit that's being injected into the body. It's like opening up something that goes beyond just bringing dead people back to life. Like it's tapping into that like bigger Lovecraftian idea of like, you know, a larger unknowable universe and layers to reality. Like it's
torn open a hole in something.
And it's like what I really like about that bit is like it's really like teasing you with that idea, but it never like elaborates on it. So it's just this like undercurrent of like, oh, there's a bigger supernatural element here that we're not privy to.
Well, I'm going to spoil a lot of the mad bollocks that they get into. You know, go on.
Anthony, have you seen any of the sequels?
I did.
I just want to know how exactly they bring Herbert West back. Because last time we saw him, he was being sucked into a portal whilst being tied up in that guy's intestines.
Yeah, he's not dead.
Well, the sequel is pretty much just like a follow-on. They're both just kind of still doctors at the hospital.
Don't they start in Peru though?
Or Bolivia or something?
Yeah,
they are just West.
Remember that
West is back and working with Dan, and for some reason, Dr. Hill's head that gets crushed in this or whatever, and becomes the freaky monster of dry ice, light, and intestines and chompy jaws or whatever it is, like. He is back as a head again, and I think at some point it gets like Batwing sewn on. That's one of the things in the trailer.
And then the third one, I really don't remember, but it was definitely set in a prison.
Yes, it was made in 2003 and is apparently not very good, but I will probably be watching at least the second one after watching this.
Yeah, I think the answer is they just fucking bring him back and fuck what happens in this one.
Who gives a shit, like?
Yeah. But, so The thing here with this endless reanimating getting out of hand, the next thing I guess that happens is, so Wes and Dan are scot-free, they've talked their way out of the problem, the police have gone, it's fine, that old Chester, he went mad. And you brought up this idea that Wes Abbey has this padded cell, it's a bit odd. And maybe
Hill.
Dr. Hill has a padded cell next to his office with a one-way mirror and all that.
Just in case.
Or two-way mirror. Well, maybe it ties into your theories, Jamie, that maybe this guy has been doing experiments himself, so he has a padded cell. You know, he's had access to some of the knowledge that is, the same guy West has learned from. So maybe he's been exploring stuff and experimenting with people next to his office, nice and convenient, while being a teacher. But they don't get into it, and they certainly don't explain why West has this sideline in at least, you know, mind control of some sort. Sorry, I keep doing that, don't I? They don't make it clear why Hill has this ability or what it comes from. It's just, you know, up for speculation, isn't it? They sort of want it there so they can have the mad prop effects and fun comedy aspects to work. Their goal is, we want a severed head guy to walk around and to control zombie minions. That sounds fun. Let's just make it happen. That's kind of what I felt he was doing.
I mean, sure, yeah. And I also do feel like that's the correct decision, because it is fun once his head is off. And
why be serious now? If you've got this far, now is the time to have fun. Yeah, I do agree. It is worth it in the end, but you kind of get rid of the plausibility, and for me the big part. So when did they kill Dr. Hill? Because they smash his head off with a spade, right?
Hill confronts West after they manage to sort of get away with what they've done. Hill is keeping the Dean now zombified,
Yes. Lobotomized
And
in the padded cell, yeah.
Yeah, he ends up lobotomizing him, and then
Megan's concerned but accepts that he's dead.
Oh,
on his
this
feet.
Is where he also really first aggressively comes onto Megan, and it's a very uncomfortable.
They also discover that he's been obsessed with Megan for a while, which is just to throw in a bit of pulpy
and
obsession.
Presumably, he's known the dean for a while, which also means that he's known Megan since she was a child, which makes this kind of thing much weirder. I always so he goes to confront West and basically says, I'm onto your bollocks, show me the research because I know you've fucking figured something out. So West agrees to do it because then he can distract him and smash his head off with a shovel.
There's also a suggestion that Dr. Hill has hypnotized Wes by talking that way to
him. I think
him.
Wes is just going along with it. I don't
he's
think Wes is
it.
Capable of being manipulated.
He's too focused. He's laser focused and full of this green goop anyway.
He's too much of a fucking weird nerd to be hypnotized.
Because like, do you other guys, Abby? Do you think there was an like? Do you think it? Do you think Wes was faking it or? Was shook it off or whatever. How do you, because he stops, you know, he manages to fight off Hill and kills him, doesn't he?
Faking what?
Faking being hypnotized.
I didn't read that at all.
No. I think, no, he wouldn't have given up his notes willingly, I don't think, but I suspect that, given the notes that he stood up and I don't know if the hypnosis lasts very long or just he counts on people's own paranoia. Because he could have like briefly hypnotized West and then as soon as he stood up and he went, I just gave you my fucking book. I'm going to cut off your head with a spade.
Like almost the arrogance with which Dr. Hill has, I'm going to take your things and I'm in charge and I'm going to take all the credit. You're going to help me. You're going to be my Dan. And then West is like, fuck you. Am I going to be... Your puppet.
I'm no fucking Dan.
And that's like a step too far. Dan is my Dan, and that's where it ends. And so, it's clonk, click, head off, spade, you know. And then who?
He's got some power to him for a little man.
Yeah, it's the power of green goop.
I think it's the power of nervous energy. That's what I get. Yeah.
This is we know he's willing to do whatever to corpses. So fair enough, he starts thinking, right, another corpse, brilliant. Can we do a head separately?
Well, yeah, he says, but I haven't done parts. That's immediately what he thinks of as well.
I would say the mistake he makes here, sure, the brain where the head is, that could come back to life. I wouldn't have even assumed the corpse body could.
Yeah, bringing the body back is the mistake.
Doing them at the same time.
Yeah.
You can't keep your eyes on both of them. And he injects the head in a tray and he got the corpse on the floor. And it is his detriment because Dr. Hill does come back. He can articulate, he can groan and moan a little bit better than everyone else so far.
David Gale is great in this film doing what he's doing, which is a very unpleasant character. And he's really going for it. But this, once he is the severed head, this is where he becomes like fucking magnificent because he's so disgusting. Like even just from when he wakes up.
Oh, becoming a pervert and
we'll get there. But I mean all the like gurgling, wheezing sounds he does and like trying to talk, like Wes and his massive fucking horse teeth when he opens his mouth.
I reckon he's got a bit of a Clancy Brown head as well. He's got
He's got a big, long head. He's a tall man, but most of that is his face.
and
he's got like a 6-foot face.
And presumably his torso is a short man with a bit of torso covering up the head.
he's so good at playing literally a monster. Like it's the perfect like mix of unable to control himself, but also still being very like articulate and mentally in control. Yeah.
So his body and head get in cahoots with the old, I can get the hang of this. They this dispatch West briefly, this sort of knockabout.
I will say, I didn't understand why they didn't just kill West.
Because West is going to be in the film later, probably.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah. Like, they just knock him out and leave. You'd think, I mean, maybe it's because they want
Jimmy,
him.
He's already got the juice in him. They thought he was dead. He was already juiced, so he's fine.
Ah. Hmm. But also, think now, if you had just been decapitated and brought back to life, and your body's separate from your head, you're going to find a little bit, the motor skills, the hand-eye coordination.
That's true.
It's a lot to...
He's going
to
need a minute.
Yeah, you say that, but he stole all of his shit.
Well, this is my problem here is Hill is more useful decapitated than he is before because he manages to steal the stuff he needs from West's lab/basement, leave, get back. Like, this is a man carrying his own head in a tray. He has to navigate. Like, to me, he should have just tripped over some bins and died again. I'm sorry. Like, this is a guy, he steals everything, a headless corpse man, takes it between here and his lab or whatever, the hospital. No one sees a headless man.
Yeah, I don't know how he pulled that off.
He fucking must be either driving a car or walk or something.
He's more competent than I am.
Yeah, I couldn't manage this much of logistics on my own, let alone headless. And then so the other thing is West, upon waking up and realizing what's happened, he's like, oh, perfect. Dr. Hill is my rival now, and he's not going to steal my plans. The best thing to do is be our own bait. Dan, help me. We're going to stay here. He's bound to come. And you're like, he's headless. I would have assumed anything. He's fucked. I don't understand why they think he is a danger, we find out, but he's very, very competent for a headless man. I don't know. Did this enter into your mind that how the fuck is this headless guy so capable all of a sudden?
There was a millisecond when he became headless where I was like, he doesn't have lungs anymore. How is he speaking? Well, and then the rest of my brain quickly overtook it and said, shut up. And enjoy. Well,
that's one of the things I actually really liked was the fact that the way he talks changes because he doesn't have air coming up out of his mouth. That's why he makes that like weird, like, it's like he's sucking air in through his throat to make noise, which is a hell of a choice by the actor.
The only suggestion they make that, oh, he might not be all right as a severed head, is they think occasionally we'll top up the tray with blood, which
I love
then...
that.
Suck up with his veins?
Yeah,
what's he doing?
Gross and
suck
weird
up
that
with
was.
Your veins?
He like.
I can only assume every now and again he goes.
He kind of does.
How does slurping through your neck get blood to the brain? There's no heart pumping.
Don't worry about it. About?
If he was connected, I'd be like, okay, they've brought him back to life. Like the fact that various
his veins and arteries are all in the thing. It's like a plant. You have to water it, and then the roots suck up the water. That's basically what's happening.
Because
it is entirely futile for you to try and argue any actual science in any of this.
All I wanted to say is that the dean has. They realize the dean is dead because he has a severed spinal cord and he's still walking around. And even that's like, oh well, he wouldn't come back to life then because the nerve system. His brain could be alive, but his body wouldn't work because his spine.
This is like, where
does the
green supernatural element comes in
that are already severed.
And I am correct that there is a supernatural element to this.
Satan,
it's a Lovecraft story.
Demon thing to explain.
No, there's no Satan in Lovecraft. It's all the old ones. Yeah. Anyway, I loved it when he watered him with blood, like a little plant in a pot. And also
like some spare ribs going in the oven.
He also just had some random blood in his office. His office is an enigma.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a weird guy. and injecting him with the extra green goo as well.
Yeah, we'll top it up, innit? Why not?
But yeah, whenever he does like suck up the blood with his vein roots, he does go like.
So yeah, Dr. Hill is really a remarkable case of the headless man whose life gets easier and he gets more.
His life gets better.
He's liberated by the experience.
Yeah, he can multitask. His head can gloat and make noises. His body can... He also tuts in his own body for being fat. It's like, that's you, mate. You're doing that. Somehow you're mentally controlling your body from there. And you're fucking annoyed at it. It's you.
There's so much shared DNA here. And this film came before it, so maybe that's part of why. Between this sequence of him and his own, like, separated body, and Ash chasing his severed hand around the house like it's fucking Looney Tunes.
It is all fun. The one thing, for what it lacks in, hang on, wait, this doesn't make sense. It's really fun and creatively done. Like the hiding, like the various setups where they have actors clearly like in a table, putting their head through a bit of creative makeup use and costumes to do the mixing, the shots up, all very creative and fun. And you kind of enjoy it on that level of enjoying the way they've got round conveying the illusion, don't you?
And it's just that it's like, it's gone, like again, the exercise in escalation thing. Once the headless body revival happens, that's when the film has like shifted gears and is now really picking up speed and about to go completely mental. Well, apparently this was David Bowie's favorite film, by the way.
Well, he's in some, so that's, you know. Never mind. Yeah, well, I don't know what to make of that. Is it reflected in David Bowie's music ever?
Maybe. Ground
control to Dr. West. Right. But, so, Dr. Hill is using the Dean as his lobotomized, mind-controlled zombie henchman.
Yeah.
And he's also been preemptively ejecting. I guess that at some point he injects all the cadavers so they could leap up conveniently timed.
Oh, yeah. Don't forget that he also sneaks into the lab by carrying his own head in a bag and putting the like anatomical dummy head on the shoulders.
We saw this anatomical head.
Yeah.
And then imagining a headless corpse. Like, so West's head can't see because he's hidden. But he's sorry, I keep doing that. I'm awful. So Dr. Hill is headless, he's mind controlling his own body. He can't see because he's hidden. He's put an anatomical dummy head with a surgeon's hat and mask on.
And it's How did he get there?
Is he driven there? He's wandered through the hospital. No one has checked. We see the reception. The reception stops Dan getting in.
I think his office is already in the hospital.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
But he had to get into his office at night. Right. But once he's in...
I like the security guard going, Dr. Hill, is that you? And then coming from inside the bag.
And his ear falls off.
Doesn't even see that. Brilliant.
Something from the commentary on the DVD, which I guess has the cast and director on it. Apparently, in the commentary, Barbara, or either in the commentary or when they were making the film or when they were watching it after the fact, Barbara Crampton during that scene said, if he can put the dummy head on the body, why doesn't he just put his own head on there?
His head doesn't have like an aperture for his neck to go into and keep it there.
Oh, maybe
it's sort of like
you need the base of the dummy head to
tie. That's true to hold it steady. Maybe. That makes sense. That reminds me of a little moment when he's first decapitated. I wanted to the little paper stand because West can't get the head to stay up by itself. So he puts the spike in there, sticks the head on it. That was great as well.
So at that point, he's like, "Well, I'm not going to care about my own body. Just stick a spike in it. Okay, I just need to be upright and in a tray, and who knows what."
No. West does it to him.
Oh,
West puts the spike in the tray because he puts the head in there and then it falls over.
Oh no, yeah, so I assumed it was Dr. Hill propping his own head up.
No,
it was West.
Yeah,
earlier on, fucking hell.
He has that very small slapstick moment where he's trying to get it to sit up in the tray.
Yeah.
my favourite bit of West coming, like, at some point they have a showdown in the lab, right? I can't remember why West and Dan, they're like, expecting him from it? What happens? How do they end up going
well,
to nowhere?
The,
they have to look for him because they're worried about Megan's going to be in trouble or something.
What happens is Megan gets kidnapped by her dad. So Hill is like, go and get me your daughter.
Yeah.
And Hill goes and I think knocks Dan out and kidnaps
Megan.
I keep wanting to call her Barbara because her name is Barbara Crampton.
Plus, they do their reference in this that's a bit like Night of the Living Dead, where
yes,
like the, I'm coming to get you, Barbara.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It's like the sitter pretending to be alive again joke.
Yeah.
Is a sort of throw forward to that as well, isn't it?
But yeah, she's kidnapped. So she.
Do you remember? You know, this is some of the fun stuff you presumably really wanted to get to. Do you remember this?
I don't actually.
Well, this is the scene that we were coming to that is the scene that is probably the only one I don't particularly like. I don't consider myself a prude, and I think mixing like horror and sexuality can be very effective. But this scene is too much, I think, for this film.
Seeing as JB's a prude, Abby, do you want to tell us what he's referring to?
Right. Let me just have a moment to get my language together for this. Right. So, just to make sure everyone is correctly situated mentally, Dr. Hill, head separated from body, body carrying head in front of him, a little bit like one would carry a melon.
Yeah.
He is
yeah.
orchestrating his body to position his head so that he can talk to her really close to the face and then do some licky business on his way down the body. And he is about to put his head between her legs when he is interrupted.
He is about to perform a corpse lingus.
Indeed.
He is literally giving head is the joke. I think everyone thinks of that.
Yeah.
But thankfully they interrupt it because it was really the ear thing when he's licking the ear was creepy enough. He's got Meg tied up in a kind of
get to the boobs and does some stuff to them. I was like, oh, this is a lot for this. And part of what makes it worse is like her performance is very genuine. Like her, like
especially because first she's traumatized by him being a detached head.
Well, and also she's been kidnapped by her undead father.
Yeah, kidnapped by her undead dad.
This situation and took her clothes off.
Yes.
And she's strapped fully vulnerable to the table. It's
That's
really
a there's a lot. She's almost reconciled that. Then she fights off a bit and she knocks the plastic head off the body, so she realized that's a body with no head. Another layer of screaming. She's just many layers of screaming, and she deserves credit.
She does she has to escalate the level of terror.
There is a point in her screaming where it becomes sort of despaired sobbing, and I was like, oh, this is too dark for what the rest of this film is. Like, this is what I was saying about like it was a relief to hear Barbara Crampton joke about this scene and other stuff because like well at least she's just doing a good job of performing the scene and isn't like actually because it comes across as too real, which
Anthony,
is
what do you
absurd.
Think too far or not enough in this
not enough.
I see where Jamie's coming from. But for me, it's like, of course.
Of course. This is what I would do.
This is where it went.
I kind of have the same reaction now when I watch the original Evil Dead and it's like the tree scene and I'm like, we didn't. You really need to do that?
Rape is horrible, but it's also entertaining.
Comedy value.
With me, I think it's like, They saw an opportunity that which was never going to happen again, and they took it.
How many times could this be? We've worked our asses off to get to this, and we're finally going to justifiedly have the scene we want.
Apparently, another commentary moment. This is another bit that made me think I like Barbara Crampton. During this scene on the director's commentary, apparently everything goes really quiet, and one of the crew, like either the director or the writer, is like "Oh, look at those lights." And Barbara Crampton immediately goes, "Look at those breasts." So, you know, at least that's so, I just, it really, like, all of the other, like, gory, over-the-top stuff in this film didn't, like, it was, it's effective and it's gross, and some of it made me cringe and like it, but, like, also still, like, laugh. Like, I was on board. This scene was like, I can't, it's just,
It's another
it's,
reason why you can actually root for West, because he wasn't making it a
yeah, he's not a
sexual
fucking
deviancy.
weird rapist. It just makes Hill even worse. Like, and I will say though, even because I've never seen this film, I was always under the impression that whenever the head starts to go between the legs, it cuts away to another scene. So the suggestion is he just successfully manages
No, he
to
doesn't.
but no, thankfully, at the very last second, the plane doesn't manage to land on the landing strip.
Oh yeah, that's the appropriate language for that.
There's another tiny little point that when Rich and I watched it, he noticed something, and it's when West comes into the room, he very gently touches a zombie dad on the arm as he passes in a politeness way,
Yeah.
He has
and
a
it's just
arrogance and a casualness with which he touches the dean
excuse me.
as he takes charge of the scene. And that's the Wes is always confident, even when he's not got the upper hand, really.
It's one of the things that is like, it's one of the reasons you kind of can't help but like him, especially at this point when like Hill has
Yeah.
gone so over the edge.
It gives Dan some reason to like carry on with West as well. It's like, well, West's so confident, and so you know, he's right. He's you know, he seems if he's gung ho and willing, I'll reluctantly do everything he wants. But yeah, how does West stop it? I mean, you know, he has the advantage of not being a severed head, but
Yes.
how do West and Dan finally, you know, put a stop to this? I mean, they don't fully succeed because you know, girlfriend ends up dead, and they have to fight off a lot of zombies.
This
But
becomes
how
the
does this
crazy naked
go
dancing
down?
zombie party.
The crazy naked dancing zombie party, hooray!
Crazy naked dancing zombie party. The
Yeah, like
dean
every
breaks programming and then gets broken by all the other zombies.
Oh, that's fucking great as well when he's torn apart. Like, he doesn't deserve it, but it's fuck it, it's a great shot because it's like silhouetted in all the smoke and you just see him completely torn to shreds. But yeah, he saves his daughter and fights off Hill. Like, he fights back.
And all the other, like, so all of the morgue all the morgue cadavers have been brought back and are being controlled by Hill. And so what I like is the variety of body types and actually things that have killed them. So some of them are burns victims, some of them have got other shit
Yeah.
going on. And they're all like the number of naked actors who have to be in full makeup and do bizarre, creepy
Yeah.
fighting. They're so good and so game. And
I know.
I love how the selection of body types they have as well. It doesn't feel
Yeah, it's not all
exploitative.
they didn't hire like all buff fit people and
No.
like you know it's all just like normal and all weirdly shaped people with makeup on to make them look even more grotesque. Like, it's great.
And one of them, like, what they fight off to the lift. I think Dan and Megan get to the lift, and then one of the zombies is still after them, like a partly burnt man or something.
Yeah.
And the trouble is, instead of yanking him free, like she's like, I think he's strangling Megan. And what does he get? Like a fucking axe or a chainsaw or
Axe.
something? An
Yeah.
axe, right? And instead of just, you know, persisting getting him off, the time he spent getting the axe, I feel, and chopping the arm off meant that his girlfriend died in that time, it seems, you know?
Worst part is, like, he goes, runs, gets the axe, comes back, awkwardly shifts around the corpse back in the elevator, and then hits him.
And you know, the arm is still a little bit of life of the arm, so strangle time
This
continues.
is also we should say this is after West is seemingly dispatched. This is what we were talking about. He
Yeah, it was
overdoses the body.
overdose. Yeah, so and then the dean crushes the head of Hill.
Oh, again, fantastic. I was so satisfied. I enjoyed how long it took because Hill
Yeah.
deserved to suffer.
But then he, like, oh no, turns out when you kill the head, the body's intestines can come to life and
Well, no,
become
that's
like.
because, so again, this is because West overdosed it with the green goo and doesn't realize he's opening something much bigger. That's why the rest of the body is
Opening,
able to be.
these are all your phrases. Opening something much bigger, we see intestines come out and act like squid arms
Yeah.
that garrot and grab and
And then we see
pull
light coming
West.
from inside the body at one point.
Yeah, it don't make a lot of sense.
It's based on an H.P. Lovecraft story. Of course it doesn't.
We should appreciate that it made any sense at all.
Yeah.
For so long they tried. Anthony, what do you make of this ambiguous intestine stuff? Is it just for shits and gigs and fun, or is it something to worry about like I am?
I didn't read it so much as supernatural. I see the point now, but I saw it more as he injected the intestines, and he'd already showed that injecting the body brought it back to life. So,
All of the tissue is
injected.
now
But like
fully alive.
limbs walking and arms grabbing is something they did when they were alive. Intestines suddenly having agency is new.
Richard,
What?
Richard,
Yeah.
overdose.
Oh, you're right. D double injection overdose means all of your organs and body parts could do whatever. Can fucking
Look, in
eyelashes come and start doing
he had a
stuff? And
theory, Rich. He had a theory.
the
Oh, yeah.
sequel, the head has wings. So
That's just classic Frankenstein mixing
yeah.
stuff up. Frankenstein didn't bring back a monster that all of the organs could independently do things and start behaving in bizarre supernatural ways. It just was a big bloke alive again.
Just a big bloke. Mary Shelley's big bloke.
Well, he doesn't get a name, does he? Or is he called like Clyde or something? Shit.
Isn't he called Adam?
Oh, like the first man, that
Yes.
would make sense, yeah. It would be shit if they
If I
called
had
the book Adam as well, wouldn't it?
one slight nitpick with the film,
Just one.
it would be I have no problem with anything in the film, if I'm being honest,
Fun
except
stuff.
for this one thing, which is the ending, which I
Oh,
mean like
really?
I only mean like the real final moments
Go on.
of the film. 'Cause so Megan is dead, and Dan rushes him her back up to like try and resuscitate her the proper way,
Yes, thank you.
but fails. But like that bit is fine. That bit I get. That makes all sense. Well written, foreshadowed. My only problem is the where they end the film. It's like
All
right
of
in
the
the
other
middle of
staff
ground.
disappear, like, and leave him to it.
Yeah, it's just right
Well,
in the
it's
middle
been.
ground of where they really should have. I felt like it should have cut before he actually makes the decision to reanimate her,
Oh,
so you're
okay.
left
You
with that.
think it should have been more ambiguous?
Either more ambiguous or play it out, and you see her reanimated, and that goes to shit, you know?
Would you have
But
it that
they chose the
Megan.
middle ground where it's
Yeah.
clear that he does it, and like it
Yeah, I
finishes
see what you
with like
mean.
that. It finishes, it goes to dark, and you see like the injecting going into her, and then the scream of her being reanimated.
Oh, poor Megan. She didn't have any
But
of
it's only a
this.
slight nitpick. It's like it's not terrible.
I
I
do
just
think
feel like
it
it's
bothered
very much the
me.
middle ground.
It bothered me because it suddenly felt like Tales from the Crypt. Yeah, kind of.
Yes.
They could have played it out, but also I get why that's the twist. It's like, oh, you haven't learned and you've become the madman.
Yeah, I do.
West,
I
in
mean,
this film, West is gone. And so Dan is the one now to continue the mad science, but and
yeah.
an ethically work doing it to his girlfriend makes sense. But it like learn you cunt. Like trick her back and start fighting you. And if she doesn't, and say she's fine, she'll fucking hate you. You know?
That's true. Yeah, I think I do. I now that you've said that, I do think it probably would have been more interesting to have it end with him like upset and then noticing the bag and it just being like a shot of the bag and him looking at it and then cut to credits and you just don't know whether he did it or not. There is
Or
something
picking
more
up the
like.
syringe like a nurse and doing a little squeeze and looking to camera and being like, fuck
Eh?
it.
Yeah. But at least,
I
or at
think
least him like digging in the bag and then like looking at it, but you seeing him struggling with the idea, but then just credits, not knowing whether he did it or not.
I think the thing is, for me, it's the film kind of taking the middle ground right at the end when it's very much not a middle ground film. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I agree.
Very quickly then, guys, seeing as we've got limited time left. Thumbs up all round, mad and fun.
Absolutely recommend to more or less anyone.
Abby, you picked it. Are you satisfied with rummaging around and finding this piece of B movie wonder?
Yes, like it's right at the edge of the kind of stuff I can watch. This one, like, I'm not going to watch it often. I might watch it again at some point,
And
but
despite my mad complaining about all the different stupid bits that I don't follow the logic of, I still enjoyed it as well. Are you going to say something else, Abby?
yeah, so I do recommend this to people, but you have to be able to stomach that kind of thing.
And check your brain out and then reanimate it as well, because your brain has very much died watching this film.
And don't eat and watch this film.
Definitely agree.
Maybe Monster Energy drink, that would go nicely. Jamie, yourself? Did you pleased?
Yeah, I can't believe I had not watched it up to this point. I'm disappointed in myself, but also glad I have now finally seen it. Don't like the almost rape scene, could lose that, but other than that, I got no fucking notes.
No notes. Enjoyed. Funny. Good stuff. Good gross. Yeah, okay. Toodle pip
We'll
for now
probably watch the
then.
second one.
Flap, flap, flap. Gotta find out what happens to these dickheads and how they are alive somehow. Anyway, bye bye.
Bye.
Eee